Hey, I'm Steph, and this is Becca, and we're the children's pastors here at the Duluth Vineyard, and we're in a series right now about why we love our church. And today we're going to be talking about the family of God, and there's something really special that we do in the family of God called baptism.
Yeah, and we wanted to invite you because next week at our in-person services at both the 9 and 11 o'clock service, we're actually having baptisms. And baptism is really just an outward sign of an inward decision. It's a symbol of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So if you've been following Jesus for a while and haven't gotten baptized, we'd love to have you come do that. Or if you've recommitted your life to Jesus and haven't gotten baptized, like we just love. And if you have been baptized, but you just love a celebration, it's so fun to get to kind of welcome and have fun while other people make that big decision and that public kind of declaration of their faith. So we hope that you would consider joining us, if you can, in person next weekend.
We're really excited to be sharing with you today because today is a really big deal. It's not just a big deal because it's Sunday. It's not just a big deal because it's church. It's not just a big deal because your favorite pastors are preaching. You're welcome. Today is a big deal because it's Valentine's Day. It's a day where we get to celebrate love and relationships and all that awesome stuff. And Becca, I'm just dying to hear. I want to know like your best, most favorite Valentine's Day memory.
Steph,
you have one, right?
Valentine's Day is the worst. Like, I don't have any good Valentine's Day stories. I mean, like, when I was a kid, Valentine's Day is super fun. Like, it's where you get candy from your friends and you get to have a party. But, like,
that's true.
As adults, Valentine's Day, I feel like it just becomes, like, for those of us that are in relationship, it's like this obligation. I, like, have to go get something because I have to celebrate this day with my significant other because how could I not do that? Or for those of us that aren't in a relationship but we want to be in a relationship, it just reminds us that we're alone. And some people try to make Valentine's Day its own thing altogether. Like, hey, I'm just going to celebrate with my girlfriends. I'm going to do a Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or people boycott Valentine's Day and just wear black. What I'm trying to say is Valentine's Day sucks.
Okay. I mean, I hear
you. You asked.
I hear you.
You know you're going to get a true opinion from me.
That's what I love about you. So Valentine's Day really does. It stirs up some loneliness for us. It can really stir up some discontentment in our marriages or our dating relationships or even just lack thereof. And I think for some of us, it can really stir up pain from losing a loved one. And not to mention, this is our first Valentine's Day in a pandemic. Like, connecting with community has already been so difficult, and now we have a day to really focus on it and celebrate it. How wonderful. But have you ever really thought about why? Like, why could a holiday, a simple holiday about love, stir up so much in us? It's because at the core of who we are, we just really long to belong. And that's why, like, things like DNA kits have become so popular. People want to know who they are. They want to know where they come from and, like, the people that they belong to. Have you ever noticed how our culture really tries to, like, sell this concept of family and belonging? So the last time you went to the Olive Garden, you sat down, ate some breadsticks, and you thought, man, I just really feel like I'm with my family.
When you're near your family.
When you're here, your family.
Their breadsticks are delicious, though.
That's fair.
So good.
Or the last time you bought a SC Johnson product, like, their tagline is, we're a family company. If you buy our stuff, you're in. You're part of the family.
Yep. Like, we people, we're all longing for this sense of home or this sense of family. It's something that's built into our American culture and advertising, this idea that there's a place where we can be ourselves, where we can truly unwind, where we can really relax, and we can really open up. And as much as we search for it, the reality is what we're longing for can only be found in the family of God. Today, we're going to take a look at what it means to be part of God's family, a place of belonging, a place that is centered on Christ as we experience his power and his presence together. So as we jump into that, let's start by praying. God, we thank you that you're perfect and that we're not. We thank you even for days on Valentine's Day where things can be stirred up, where we maybe wonder where we belong, we wonder what family looks like, and maybe even when we hear those type of words, we cringe a little bit. I pray that we would all be open to what you have for us right now. So we ask you to come and that you would speak to each one of us individually exactly where we're at.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So the family of God is a place to belong. God picked you, he picked me, he even picked Becca, that we get to be in his family. This is a really big deal. So in the Old Testament, it used to be that God had chosen this line of Israel, these Jewish people, and it was through them that he was going to send Jesus. So Jesus came and he really shook things up. And he actually began to preach to the Jews that they are to be a light to the Gentiles being the ones that were out. And so what Paul is telling us in this letter to the Ephesians that we're going to be reading about today is he says, remember, Gentiles, you used to be excluded. You used to be out, but now you get to be in. We're all in, and we all belong to the family of God. And here is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2:11. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised. Did you have a photo for that?
Photo. Okay. Excuse the photo. No photo?
No photo.
I guess no photo.
By those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yeah, so in verse 13, where it's talking about being brought near by the blood of Christ, it kind of means this. Like when Jesus died, the moment that Jesus died on the cross, something happened in the temple. There was this curtain that separated us normal people from what was called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is a place where God's presence dwelled in the temple. And in order to get into the Holy of Holies, not only did you have to be a priest, but you had to be cleansed of your sin. You could only go at certain times. You had to be completely clean or haven't done anything wrong. Like, and there were only certain people that could do that. But the moment that Jesus died, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. That was like really high up in the air too. No one could have done that except God himself. What happened when Jesus died? He made it so that all of us had free and equal access to God's power and presence all of the time. So like when we say that, having equal access to God's power and presence all the time, do we really believe that for ourselves or for other people? And stuff like what you were just saying, like when talking about the Israelites, talking about everyone being in and getting to experience God, but is there a time where you've seen people like be excluded?
Yeah, actually, unfortunately. It really makes me think of this time that I was taking some students on a missions trip. Now, as a youth pastor, which is also my secret side job here at the church. I love my job.
Kids of all ages.
The number one goal on a missions trip is you want to bring back 100% of the students you brought on the trip. Number one goal.
But if you bring back 9, I mean, that's still 90%,
right? No, 100%. No excuses.
Pass, fail. Got it.
Yes. So on this trip, we're doing an outreach where we're going to parks and we're passing out popsicles. And we're just loving people in a really practical way. And we pull up to a park that's in like a not so nice part of town. And you know, you're looking around like, oh, okay. And a student calls from the back of the van to me and says, Steph, are you sure these are the kind of people that we should be talking to?
Then you smacked her across the face.
Never would I do that. I turned and I looked at her with a big smile on my face and I said, get out. And it was literally the scariest moment because I was like, Jesus, please come. Oh my gosh, 100%. You know the golden rule. 100% of these students have to come home. And it was the coolest experience. These students got to see firsthand how every single person is a part of God's family, how every single person is welcomed and wanted in God's family. You see, what really happens is that exclusion comes when we let sin get in the way of each other. Like maybe you've experienced this feeling of exclusion. Maybe you felt like people haven't really gotten you or they just don't accept you the way that you are. Maybe you've been on the other side of that. Like maybe you've been on the inside. Maybe you've always really known church. You've been in church for a long time. You've felt like you've been part of God's family. But are you really living in the reality that in God's family, everyone is in? Like think about it. If you saw somebody who identifies in the LGBTQ, how do you internally respond? Do you want to know their story? Do you want to hear their name? Do you want to get to know them more? Or do you kind of want to keep them at a distance because it feels a little bit safer? I mean, the same thing goes with like political views. How we might knowingly or unknowingly be excluding people from a place that Jesus has welcomed everyone into really matters. Maybe you're here today and you want to be in, you want to be a part of God's family. That is something that is completely available to you today.
Yeah, like this invitation really is for all of us. Like there are those of us that were out, all of us were out at one point, but this invitation into the family of God really is for every single one of us. And so maybe you have felt excluded, or maybe like you just have gone, you know, I've just never even thought about what it would be like to be part of that family or to actually trust God to be in charge of my life. We'd love to have you consider doing that. And we're actually going to pray about that later in the service, but we'd love to have you consider doing that today. And I think there are those of us as well that like, well, I've been following God, or like, I've been doing this a long time. But I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we've all excluded someone, right? Like we all have our own personal biases. If we get really honest with ourselves, there is someone, like what Steph was just talking about, that we're like, yeah, I don't want to have a conversation with that type of person. Or like she shared about the mission trip. Should we really be around those type of people? Again, that's maybe hard to get in touch with, but we all have some type of bias. And that bias is sin. And so we need to address that and invite God into those places in our hearts. We have to remember what God wants to remind us of, and what Paul is reminding the Ephesians of, is that the family of God is a place of belonging and inclusion with equal access to God. And the family of God is also an all-access place of unity. Mm-hmm. Continuing in Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, through Jesus, we have both access to the Father by one Spirit.
Yeah, like Paul is telling the Ephesians, everyone is in and everyone is on the same playing field. It's Jesus that unites us. Jesus gives all of us full access to God. And I love how Paul puts that. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So, Becca, I know part of your story growing up, like it was a childhood value of your family's to be in church, to do church yep. all the time. And so I'm just curious, has your experience always been like this unity and peace in the family of God?
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay. So then we can be done here?
Yeah, no, of course not. Right? Like I grew up going to the church, like Steph was saying, and like people are imperfect, right? I'm imperfect. Steph's imperfect, believe it or not. And like the reality is that when you're in relationship with broken people, you're going to get hurt. And that happened to me, particularly growing up in the church in high school. Like in my church growing up, we had something called Sunday school, right? You'd go to your Sunday school class and then you go to the regular church service. So I would go to Sunday school with all these people from my high school and we would be friends. We would talk about Jesus. We'd talk about the Bible. We'd pray. We'd do all the things you would do. And then on Monday, like I can even remember this one time where there was a boy who was part of my group who I tried to say hi to in the hall, and he just looked right through me like he didn't even see me. I was unpopular, and a lot of those people I went to high school with, they were part of the popular crowd. So like I got ignored. I got left out. I felt even like I wasn't worth it. And the reality is, like, the way that those people were treating me, that was sin. That was their brokenness, right? And, like, it's really hard because when we think about this, like, there are things that are keeping us separated from God. And what keeps us separated from God, it's just that. It's our sin. Sin is in the way.
Yeah, sin totally can get in the way. I've actually experienced that in my own life. So I attended a small Christian college in the cities, and there was a season of my life where I felt like my relationship with God was really like capped. I felt like I'd pray and it was like my prayers were just like bouncing off the ceiling. And I just felt really stuck in my relationship with Jesus. And like I was going to school for ministry. So I was in Bible classes and I was surrounded by Christian community. And I just felt really, really stuck. And so every year we would have this chapel, it was called Reconciliation Chapel, where they'd have a speaker come in and they'd talk about forgiveness. And they would create time for all the people that were there to go and ask for forgiveness to somebody that you had sinned against. And so obviously, because I lived a perfect life, there was no one for me to need to ask for forgiveness. So
yeah, that sounds
end
right.
Of story. No, God highlighted someone to me. He was speaking to me about where I had sin in my life. And so naturally I avoided it. And I went a couple months without addressing
She's
it.
She's a pastor, everyone.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And I would bump into this frustration. I would frustratingly bump into this moment with God where I didn't want to take care of it. I didn't want to deal with it. And so finally I got some courage and I sent a Facebook message.
Oh, so courageous, a Facebook message.
And I asked for forgiveness. And honestly, it was like this threshold had opened up and I just had this fresh experience with God. And it even unlocked some of my friendships.
Yeah.
And I got to experience freedom in like a whole new way.
Yeah, I've actually heard people say that before, right? That they felt cut off from God. And once they've like either asked for forgiveness or offered forgiveness to other people, it was like they felt like the floodgates had been opened, like their all access pass to God had been restored. Like what I think you're saying is like sin's in the way, right? And there's different
yeah.
ways that we sin, like whether it's envy, whether it's talking about people behind their backs or taking something that's not yours or lying about your taxes because it's tax season, friends, right? A lot of the things keeping us and messing us up in our relationships with each other and our relationship with God is the poor choices that we're making or the selfishness that we're making.
Right. And honestly, like we hate looking at the sin in our lives.
Yeah.
But I think something that we really need to think about is if you're not experiencing peace, if you're not experiencing unity in the family, what sin might be getting in the way of that?
Yikes. We can have unity and peace. And a tool to get that, right, is forgiveness. God's family is a place of belonging where we all have equal access to God.
Yeah, and in the family of God, it's a place to experience Jesus together. So this pandemic, it's been awful for everyone. But one of the things that's taught me is that we need people and we need to be experiencing Jesus. And it's never been easier to avoid people. It's never been easier to not have plans with friends. I mean, it's easy to just say, oh, I'm zoomed out. Even my computer is zoomed out right now. Like my camera has actually stopped working.
That's your excuse for this week. I see what you're saying.
Yes, it is. But like it could be something as simple as there could be a light dusting of snow on your car in the morning on a Sunday. And you're like, I'm just going to stay in today and I'll catch the service online. You just get busy and then you forget. And then we never really get around to it. And we're telling ourselves that we're going to find God on our own. But how is this actually going for us? Like, are we still engaging with people? Are we still consistently experiencing the presence of God? So we're going to finish in Ephesians 2, verse 19. And it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, the family, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus is the cornerstone and foundation, our entire house of faith, our free access to God, our sense of belonging is based on experiencing Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what does.
Right? Amen. It's kind of like saying home is where the heart is. We find our family, we find our home because of what Jesus did, because the curtain was ripped that kept us from God's presence, because Jesus lived a perfect and blameless life and took all of our mistakes when he died on the cross. Jesus did it. God ripped the curtain, right? We did nothing. All we do is keep making mistakes over and over again. So God came to pay the price that we could never pay on our own.
Yep. So more than anything, I think for both of us, the place that we've experienced God's power and presence the most has actually been here in our Duluth Vineyard community.
Yeah.
So Becca, do you mind sharing a little bit of how that has been for you?
Yeah. So actually, to talk about my experiences here in Duluth, I have to take a step back, because the Vineyard is actually kind of like a group of churches. So there's different vineyards around the country and even around the world. And so for me, I grew up in Ohio, and I shared a little bit of my high school story. That wasn't in a Vineyard church, but even in high school, I remember feeling there was something in my heart. There was this tug towards God that I just didn't know what to do with. And so I had just kind of made this decision that when you're getting ready to go to college and all the brochures come in the mail, I stored them all up. And then one day I threw them in the middle of my living room floor. And I said, God, you can have me in college. Show me where the heck to go. And from that, I actually feel like God showed me where to go to college. I went to a place called Otterbein College in Westerville, Ohio, which is just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And when I got there, I met a friend who was a Christian. She was like, hey, you want to come to church with me? And I was like, sure. Guys, it happened to be a Vineyard church. It was Vineyard Columbus. And from that, that's really where I met the Vineyard, so to speak. That's where I experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time. I'd grown up in the church, but I hadn't actually had that experience. And I got to pray for other people. I got to be prayed for. I got to experience what it looked like to be in really open and honest community. And then from that, when I moved to Duluth, kind of from that experience there, I came to the Duluth Vineyard on an Easter Sunday, and during worship, and I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, God totally talks to me all the time, or I feel like I can really clearly hear his voice. But mm-hmm. that Sunday during worship, I felt like God said, this place is your home.
Oh, I love that.
And that was kind of it for me. And so from that, I kind of just continued that journey and have had those same experiences, experiencing Jesus's power and presence, having that sense of belonging at this Vineyard. And so that's some of my story. Steph, I'd love to know, what do you love about this church? What do you love about this Vineyard?
So part of my story is actually similar to yours. I grew up going to church. I grew up in a lot of different denominations, and I got to experience God in a lot of different ways through these different churches. And I got to kind of taste how different churches work with their structures and their systems. And I knew that God had called me to ministry, but I never felt like I really fit anywhere. It was kind of I don't really know how to explain it, but my husband and I got married, we moved to Duluth, and somebody invited us to check out the Vineyard, and I had never even heard of the Vineyard before. And when we started attending on the weekends, I loved the way the Vineyard did church. I loved that they didn't just play this game of church. It wasn't like some club. I loved how they valued scripture and they taught scripture. But one of the things that really stood out to me was that they did ministry time. Mm. I thought it was so cool that it was just built into the culture of church. It was so normal to come to church, and part of the service was to get prayer, to experience the presence of God right there in that moment with the family, with this family that was together. It's been one of my favorite things about the Vineyard ever since.
Yeah, I think what you're even describing, and sometimes we say about the Vineyard, is it's naturally supernatural. I love that.
Yeah.
When we talk about this, how do we know we love our church? This passage in Ephesians, I think, says it so well. It's within this church that we've experienced belonging, that we experience Jesus and recognize, both for both of us, our statuses as daughters of the King with equal and full access to everything the Father has to offer. That I'm not better or worse than anyone else. That we are all broken humans who need to surrender everything to Jesus. That in this place, we can experience the power and presence of God because of the gift of Jesus in our lives. And so when we talk about that gift of Jesus in our lives, it comes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier about do we actually belong? Do we actually feel like we're included in part of the family? And so if you have felt excluded, or if you have felt like, gosh, I don't know if I'm actually part of this family, but this family that you're describing, which maybe isn't what you thought that church community could actually look like we'd love to invite you to pray with us right now about what it looks like to really surrender your life fully to God.
So Jesus, would you come?
Yeah.
And sometimes stepping into family feels really scary, especially when maybe our own experience of family hasn't been the greatest. And so, Jesus, we just thank you for the way that you have made your family a place where we can all belong, where we can all show up, and we can all experience you. And so today, as some might be wanting to step into that family and commit their lives to you, like, we just say yes to that. Would you come and would you begin to show each person where they are in your family and how you love them and how you see them? Would you connect them to community and the people that are going to help them grow in their relationship with you? Thank you for leading us and loving us. Amen.
Amen. So if you pray that prayer with us, like if you're joining us during the live chat, we'd love to have you ask for prayer and just let one of our prayer team know that you did that. And if you're watching it at a different time, reach out, send us an email or call the church, and we'd love to talk to you more about that. And we think there's some other things that are probably going on for those of us today, like particularly with this idea of being excluded.
Yeah.
Like there are definitely those of us that are like, I mean, I've been a part of the church for a while too, and I definitely feel excluded. Steph, you were sharing a little bit about that even as we were getting ready for this message. Yeah. What do you feel like God's been talking to you about that?
Yeah, so I just have really felt like the Holy Spirit is highlighting to me that like there are people that are part of the Duluth Vineyard community and they're feeling like they are cut out. Like they feel like they've been excluded. And so if that's you, we want to first tell you that that's not true. We love you and you're a part of this family.
That's right.
But we also want to connect with you. So if you want to shoot us an email, you can fill out the connect form. You can get prayer. There's so many ways we want to continue to connect with you and keep you involved because we love you and you are a part of our family. That was just something that I really felt like God wanted to share with us today.
Yeah, and I think that for some of us too, there's like this barrier, like maybe similar to Steph's story about forgiveness and reconciliation. Like maybe some of us are experiencing a barrier to God's power and presence and we have no idea why or what that is. That we just feel like there's some reason we're feeling disconnected. If that's you and maybe you can't quite put your finger on it, and honestly, a way that you might be knowing that God's like tapping you on the shoulder, it's like if you're getting a little nervous right now, if you're feeling your heartbeat a little bit or like your hands are starting to sweat, those are a lot of times signs that the Holy Spirit's up to something. So if that's you, if you feel like there's just something stirring inside of you right now, we'd love to pray for you right now. We have an incredible team of folks who would love to pray for you. And otherwise, we just really thank you for joining us. We're about to head into some worship. And so this is really a time to respond. It's a time to really see like, okay, God, what are you speaking to me right now? Like from this message, from these things that we've talked about today of the family of God, what might you be up to?